Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as with Martin Luther, may our conscience be captive to the Word of God. For in the Word of God resides authority, declaring the way to walk with you and the way to eternal life in your Son, Jesus the Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a period of time in my life, and it was when I was a junior in high school taking American history class. And during that time, I was considering becoming a teacher. My mom was a teacher teaching math various times in different school systems. She taught several years 7th and 8th grade math in the Dayton public school system. My mom's older sister and her husband, my aunt and uncle, were high school teachers up in Minnesota, and they were coaches too for all their life. Along with me, I was considering being a high school history teacher. I also saw myself coaching soccer. And having those summers partially, mostly free, plus the other stuff you had to do, I saw that as bonus to me. American history, specifically the setting and the founding of this nation blessed by God, would have been my focus. Alas, math and science and automotive things took me to engineering. I was hearing stories of my brother studying mechanical engineering, and he was working summers for Delphi as an intern, and he was telling of disassembling a transmission for study and then putting it back together and other fun mechanical things, and that just piqued my interest. His internship with Delphi turned her in career with Delphi, and he ended up being at the Proving Grounds in Milford, Michigan, in the brake division, developing analog brakes and stability control for GM. One day he said, "You know you're having a good day when you have to pull pieces of rubber from your ears before lunch." They were testing stability control, and they were just tearing the tires up on the car. So it was a Corvette, too. Lots of fun. And rubber, that's just fun. His career carried over when Delphi was sold out. He now travels regularly to China, still working in that brake division, and he's many other places because of that. So that brought me into engineering, and then after a degree with industrial engineering, and I used that industrial engineering degree at Raytheon in Waltham, Massachusetts, on the Trident Missile Guidance System. And then I did some postgraduate study in mechanical engineering, and then God took me a different direction. And perhaps he took me this different direction because I'm as orthodox you can be. The Word of God is the Word of God, and I will never turn aside from that stance. Orthodox means conforming to what is generally or traditionally as accepted as right or true, established and approved. Orthodox comes from two Greek words, ortho and doxis. Ortho means straight, right, and correct. So ortho, straight, right, and correct. Orthodontics concerns getting teeth in their right place. Orthopedics is about getting bones and muscles in their right positions and with each other. So that's ortho. Doxis means opinion or judgment or view. So when you put ortho and doxis together, it's about having a right opinion, a straight judgment, a correct view. Orthodoxy is having that right opinion, that right judgment, that right understanding with regards to the Christian faith. More specifically, faith that adheres to the faith declared in the creeds of the church. Teaching the faith is to teach what has been taught. It is not seeking something new, rather it is holding on to and passing on what has always been true, rooted and declared by the Word of God, and not stepping one bit from that. After reading half of Eric Metaxas' book, Martin Luther, The Man Who Rediscovered God and Changed the World, I had to return it to the library. And I promptly reserved the book again, and after waiting a couple weeks, I now have the book checked out again, and I'm picking up where I left off. Martin Luther spirited off to Wartburg Castle after the Diet of Arms. Now, at the Diet of Arms, Luther was told to recant. He wasn't given a choice. Recant. Recant from your works and writings. And Luther answered, "Unless I am convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of the popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Luther was willing to have his views, his theses, and all the other writings to come under review. And he would recant if they could show him from Scripture. Not what other councils or theologians had written, but from the Scriptures. They would not accept that condition. Luther was trying to have these theologians return to the Word of God, whereas the theologians were writing from and quoting other councils, other theologians, and the Pope in other sources. They were not quoting from the Word of God, the Scriptures. Luther was, if they just would read the Bible for themselves, they would see what Luther found. Time and time again, Luther offered, if they would promise to refute Luther's thesis, his position straight from the Scripture, not quoting a council, not quoting a pope, not quoting any of their writings, but straight from Scripture, quote, straight from the Word of God. That's what Luther was asking for. Remember, that is how Jesus confronted the devil's tempting in the desert. Jesus quoted straight from the Word of God to resist the temptations. What was taking place in the Reformation is similar to the situation in Israel in the time of Jesus. The religious leaders, the Sadducees, Pharisees, teachers of the law, had built up a system of living based upon what other revered teachers of the law and what other rabbis had said. They would teach the Word of God by teaching, well, this rabbi said, and this rabbi said, and this rabbi said. Ask a question about a situation in life, and the answer would come back, well, Rabbi so-and-so said. Well, what does the Word of God say? These additional teachings and compilations of sayings of Jewish rabbis were meant to clarify and interpret the law of Moses. Example, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, meaning you're to do no work on the Sabbath, but rest as God rested on the seventh day. Now, do no work, what does that mean? Well, they came up with 39 categories of work. And with those 39 categories of work, there were subcategories to the extent they were listing out how far one could walk and how many letters one could write on the Sabbath. And it went from 2,000 cubits to 4,000 cubits to 8,000 cubits. And remember, Mount Olivet was about a Sabbath day journey. So they wrote all these laws. And to that, and to the extent of what they wrote those laws, Jesus encountered when he healed on the Sabbath. Remember, the Pharisees complained, he was working. There's other days of the work. Don't week to work. Don't do it on the Sabbath. And this is why they were also complaining while Jesus was eating with sinners. These additional teachings of Rabbi so-and-so through the ages. And that is why when Jesus taught, his teaching was authority. That authority just shows through. The effect on those hearing Jesus teach is the authority. Exousia is the Greek word, authority. It just was there. Now, Mark chapter 1, we do not have the content of the preaching, but we have the reaction of the people to the preaching. Mark chapter 1, verse 22. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Now, whether it was towards the end of Jesus' teaching or as Jesus concluded or sometime during he was teaching, we don't know when Mark chapter 1, verse 23 happened. Just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out. Better translation would have been using that word immediately. Immediately, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out. As a reaction to the authority of the teaching of Jesus that the people were experiencing, the evil in this man reacted to the authority also. The reality of the kingdom of God has come near, and the evil did not like that. The reality of the kingdom of God coming near is shown in the synagogue by this evil saying, "What will you have with us? We know who you are." And the possessed man is set free from the evil spirit. The sign confirms the authority that is in Jesus as he teaches. It confirms the truth of what Jesus has been teaching. And at this, the people react again. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. The people were all amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." Now the people did say, "What is this? A new teaching?" Well, it might be new if you've never heard it before. But with Jesus, he was not teaching a new thing. If you never heard it before, it would sound like a new thing. But with Jesus, he was bringing people back to what the Lord God had already spoken. That's what Martin Luther was doing in the Reformation, returning to what God had actually said. Now, what may have Jesus been teaching to these people that they called new? Most likely, the reality of the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. That's how this section of Mark chapter 1 began. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," Jesus said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Remember when Jesus preached in Nazareth? He said the scripture of Isaiah, which he had just read, had been fulfilled in their presence. That's in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Matthew writes, as Jesus begins to preach, Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, "Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah." Matthew then quotes Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, "A great light has come to the darkness," with Jesus preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Jesus preaching the fulfillment of God's promises is preaching rooted in the Word of God. It is not something new. It is the fulfillment of God's promises, which God has been saying all along. This will come with the Messiah. This is my Son. Listen to him, because I am well pleased. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not something new. It is the fulfillment of the Word of God. It is a good thing, and the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus is preaching, rooted in the Word of God. Release the oppression from the evil spirits. The possessed man experienced that. He was released from the oppression. He was set free by the commanding word of Jesus. This setting free was a sign to show the authority of Jesus is real and it's true. Indeed, the kingdom of God has come near. All in fulfillment of what the scriptures had said. That same authority to teach and preach is available to us by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel of Jesus Christ sets people free. Teach the word of God as it is, the very word of God. The authority of the word of God will change a heart and change a life. Oppressive governments know this. Why is it that Christianity is persecuted around the world? Why is it in these same places possession of the Bible is forbidden or greatly restricted? A spiritual battle is why. Evil likes to oppress, kill, and destroy. The gospel of Jesus Christ sets people free. The precious blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross paid in full the price of redemption. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ sets hearts, minds, and souls free when they repent and believe. Those who are dead in sin are made alive in Christ by the power and authority that resides in that Word of God, precisely by the redeeming sacrifice and work of the Son of God. So walk in the authority of the Word of God wherever you go. Teach in that same authority. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ and trust the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel's authority, not your authority, not your persuasive words, not your even your abilities. Trust in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's Christ's authority that sets people free. And it's by faith. Anyone. By faith, anyone can be set free. Repent and believe. The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God is here. Amen and amen.